And Nolan, I don't think the answer is should there never be games designed for kids, or is the answer should we not be bashing it? Because I think there should absolutely be games designed for kids, and I think we should 100% be bashing it.
We can do both. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name's Nolan.
And this is episode 104, and it's a special Patreon pool episode today.
Patreon pool.
Emphasis on special.
Very special.
Special.
It's all made possible because of our loyal patrons. You can check out patreon.com/NGP podcast for more information on how to support the show and how to get your game selection entered into our next Patreon pool. And it might just be the next Patreon pool game that we play. In honor of our retro game of the week, I wonder if you two guys can put your heads together and correctly list the 10 most famous fictitious dinosaurs in pop culture.
Well, according to who?
Well, it was kind of according to me gathering different lists together.
Wait,
but
okay,
it's the real official list.
Fictitious as in the dinosaur doesn't actually
Kenny,
exist?
I think you already know the answers, so we're just talking about the 10 most popular dinosaurs in pop culture.
He's about to get into whether dinosaurs are real or not.
First one.
Okay.
No particular order.
T-Rex Jurassic Park.
Absolutely. That's the first one on my list.
Yeah, easy.
That's one down. Nine to go.
Kenny, you're going to have to do all of these. I don't know.
Okay, Velociraptors, Jurassic Park.
That's another one, but I didn't include it.
Okay. Guy, Jurassic Park.
Okay, stop with Jurassic Park. Let's go to something else.
Okay. Done with Jurassic Park.
That's the only movie I've ever watched. How about Land Before Time guy?
What's his name?
Littlefoot.
It is. Littlefoot and Land Before Time. That's two down, eight to go.
What about Power Rangers? Didn't they have little...
That's a fake dinosaur.
That's just a robot.
Okay, I know more dinosaurs.
I don't.
How about dinosaurs from the TV show Dinosaur?
Yeah, so the Sinclair family or the baby dinosaur
from
the TV show.
Yeah, but baby would be the famous one.
That's
absolutely
three down.
Wow, I'm really bad
clean
at this.
Clean up, everybody do your share. Clean up, clean
that
up.
That was from a dinosaur
everybody
show?
Everywhere.
There's dinosaurs that teach preschoolers how to do things?
There is, and he's big and purple, and his friend is
Barney.
Bop.
Oh.
Barney the dinosaur. You're like, yes, you described the show perfectly, Kenny. Barney, yes. That's three down? Three down.
I'm so mad that he made it over a second Jurassic Park character.
I almost said Gullah Gullah Island, but that's a frog.
Gullah Gullah Island. Gullah Gullah.
Can I go to Jurassic World?
You can.
And say the Allosaurus? What do they call it? The big fake hybrid one?
Indominus Rex?
Indominus Rex. That's what I said.
I've never seen the movie, but yes, that one was definitely on the list.
Okay.
So I lost count, but you probably have like five or six more to go.
I got four down.
And I got one.
Dinosaurs.
I think you're going to have to tell us the rest of them. There's no way.
Well, I'll say you want to think animated and you want to think kids movies or shows.
Well, yeah. That doesn't cut it down for me, though.
Toy Story.
Oh.
Rex.
Okay,
Rex.
I'll give it to you.
Rex.
It's a stretch.
Unfortunately, guys, there's a few more, and one is from a very popular video game that you should...
Turok.
No, it's not
Dinosaur Hunter. That's a good answer.
Not near as good as Yoshi from Super Mario.
He's barely a dinosaur.
Are we
going to
open up this debate?
He's 100% a dinosaur. Mm. There's one on here that I would actually allow you to say it does not belong in the list.
I don't think Yoshi's a dinosaur.
And it's the greatest kaiju of all time.
I don't know what words you just said.
Wow, guys.
Is this a Yu-Gi-Oh thing? Did you just reference Yu-Gi-Oh?
No.
Reptar from the Rugrats, Dino from the Flintstones, and Godzilla.
You wouldn't have been able to get 10 if you didn't make the list.
I would have... No, I don't, well, there's no telling, but I would definitely have been able to do better than you guys.
Godzilla is not a dinosaur.
I would agree with that. Okay, I didn't want to put Godzilla on the list.
I didn't really watch Rugrats, and the other one maybe I'll give you, but not even really. I'm going to give myself a passable.
I'm not at all.
Nolan didn't do anything. And he was shocked that I knew Littlefoot's name. Come on. Like, classic childhood right there.
Either way, all of these dinosaurs are great in their own right, but none of them were we able to color in the retro game of the week, Color a Dinosaur.
Overview.
Color a Dinosaur is exactly what you expect. You color dinosaurs.
No, it's not.
It's a children's game. It came out in 1993, and it was published by Virgin Games, like Virgin Mobile, and then it was developed by Farsight Studios, who's not done much from what I understand, and then it was on the NES. So you go through 16 different dinosaurs, I think, that you can color, and it's just a empty page, like a coloring book, and you have a color palette, and you move left and right with the D-pad to cycle through what you're coloring, and you hit A to color on that color. There's literally nothing else to explain. That is the game. It's for 3 to 6 year olds.
Did you say that it came out in 1993?
I did.
I'm just trying to think. Did you say that genre is drawing and creativity?
No, but that doesn't need to be said.
We got to say some other things. Did you say that it's only single player mode?
No, I didn't.
Did you say that there's no like online feature?
Oh, there's definitely an online feature. You guys can do that?
I almost, because there's something universally appealing about coloring, probably on an NES no matter what, but especially in this game, that as I was coloring, I almost wanted to print these dinosaurs out and actually like color them like an adult, but I didn't.
So you use the print function?
There's not a print function.
There's not a print function. Unlike most every other video game, you can literally know everything there is to know about the game by the title itself.
Yeah. 7 seconds.
Really?
Like, what do you do in this game? Well,
it's a sentence.
You color a dinosaur.
that's all you do.
What cracks me up is that in the manual for this game, they assume that you're going to want to save your colored dinosaurs. Of course, there's not a save your dinosaur feature. That would be way too complex for this game. So what it recommends is plugging your Nintendo Entertainment System into a VCR and recording the input so that you can save the dinosaurs you've made.
Yes.
It actually recommends doing that.
If there's jumping through hoops, that's the worst I've ever heard. Also, but why would you want to save any of these, first of all?
They're beautiful pieces of...
I've got a screenshot of one of mine saved that I'll probably hold on to for a little while.
A actual coloring book is infinitely more enjoyable than this game.
All right, hold on. Did you guys play any Mario Paint back in the day?
No.
Yes.
You didn't play any Mario Paint, Kenny?
No, I played with Microsoft Paint a whole lot.
That counts.
Nolan's a professional.
I'm pretty good at MS Paint. I made our first logo in that.
Yeah, actually, but... Mario Paint was, I think, fairly successful. It had some games. It had, you could do that music thing on it as well.
Yeah.
You could swat the flies, but then you could just color and you could paint. What made that good, and what made Color a Dino more challenging? Like, what were kind of the main differences between the two?
I would imagine it was just a design decision, and Mario Paint was designed for 7 to 12-year-olds.
I mean...
Instead of 3
maybe.
To 6.
Exactly.
Or these developers were super lazy and didn't go past it. And also, Mario Paint was probably developed by Nintendo, if I'd had to guess. So, like, that's the difference. You have a million-dollar-plus company developing a game versus who is this person? So,
still... This one is so basic. There's some games that we play and we go, I can't believe this game came out in this year because it was so ahead of its time. For this to be a 1993 Nintendo title, something's just not right. It'd be totally different for me if like they threw something together and shoved it out early. There's this new system out. We want to make something appealable to little kids. and just, you know, monetize it a little and it'll be easy, wham, bam, whatever. Everyone will forget us someday. Cool. If it was like 1980 anything, but 1993.
It's pretty bad.
No.
You need to look at the games that came out that year.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Gameplay. So, you said that there are 16 dinosaurs. They're all cartoon dinosaurs, so they don't look realistic. And you're presented with a drawing screen in which you have your main piece of art that is kind of center screen. And then to the left, you've got these various palettes of colors to choose from.
10 colors.
So you press B and you cycle through those colors. Now, we say colors liberally there because there's really only 3 or 4 colors, and then right. The rest are these terrible patterns. Yeah. And you cycle through them, you select one color at a time, and then you use a pencil icon that is on your coloring screen to cycle through and select the area that you want to fill with the color that you have selected. And remember, this is not mouse and keyboard, so you're pressing left and right to cycle through pre-selected coloring spots to finally land on the area that you want, and then you press A to fill in slowly that area.
It's like the paint bucket tool in MS Paint. Like, you don't actually color, you say, I want to color this section this color, and then the game's like, all right, give me a second. It starts rendering it in little
blocks.
It's
not like, give me a second. It's like, give me 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's like, go get a snack. Especially if you need the background, because it's huge.
Well, and especially if you're doing a pattern, because for whatever reason, the developers thought that they had to fill it in with a solid color before changing it to a pattern.
But sometimes not the solid color that was even the color of the pattern.
Not even close.
No. Oh, you'd be like, did I select the wrong color? Why is this filling with blue? And then it would be like bright red polka dots.
I love the cover art of the game. So we said these patterns are ugly and they don't really make sense. If you look at the cover art of Color a Dinosaur, it's the most ridiculous looking dinosaur. It's like red, and then the leg is striped, the other leg is like checkered, and then the stripes are like, it's terrible.
Yeah, you would think that they would want to color it somewhat realistic, right? Or I don't know, because it is for ages 3 to 6, so maybe it doesn't matter. If you look at the cover art, literally the dinosaur primarily is like this red color, but then his back right leg is like just these red squares on a white background. One of his legs is entirely like diagonally striped. It's just completely off.
No, there's no excuse. And the palette choices are just, I get bright and appealing to kids, but they're just like, they're the palettes that I would put together if you told me, put together the most obnoxious palettes you can to make a game that just is ridiculous.
At least they were upfront about what you're getting into. Like, they're honest on the cover. They're like, hey, this game's really crappy. This is what it looks like.
So help me out for a second. I don't know if it's because of how I went about playing the game or if it's actually different modes. I'd be surprised if it was different modes. But you guys talked about cycling to the different slots and coloring those.
Mm-hmm.
I also had some dinosaurs that let me, like, free draw, where I could literally move the cursor. Does that depend on which dinosaur you pick?
I did not figure that out on my own. When I did my first play, I didn't know that was a feature.
Yeah, feature. So, sorry. No, it's not about the dinosaur, Kenny. So if you select your dinosaur, and you never know this in game, but if you select the dinosaur with A, then you go into the cycle pre-selected areas to color. If you select that dinosaur with B, then you're given a free roam pencil, which sounds like a good idea, but instead of a mouse, you're using a D-pad, and it works just about as good as you would think a D-pad would trying to be a mouse.
No, it could work well if you like adjusted sensitivity. No, I'm saying that the idea could have worked well.
Sure.
They didn't work well. It moved us like a set amount of space, and so you'd try and color like nuanced part, like the pupil of an eyeball.
You can't get there.
And like the cursor would like jump over it and then jump over it and then jump below it and then jump over it. And you wanted to just, you thought you wanted to color a dinosaur and now you want to punch a dinosaur. And
sure.
Imagine, I mean, it's an NES controller. That's what you're using. Like a picture that in your hands trying to color. That's so frustrating.
If you had a mouse free roam would be a great idea because you could get the specific areas, you could get the you could get tooth by tooth, you could get all of these different gaps, but with a D-pad, you can't even select some of the major spots. Like I was trying to get these spines on a dinosaur's back or these, whatever, these little, but they're fairly large circles, but it was hard even to get inside of those. And then you'd color something wrong. Right. And then when you try to fill it, like change it back, sometimes Nolan, I saw on your first play that you had difficulty. Like if something is one pattern already, and then you want to switch it to another pattern, it won't fill the whole thing at first. You have to do it probably 5 or 6 times to finally get the whole area.
It's like render 3 times before
so
it covers
frustrating
it.
Yeah, the render process in this is just obnoxious. You can like watch it working and filling in the main space and then slowly working in around all the detailed areas, and it's just terrible. I feel like, and this isn't the case because there's just enough complexity that it would have taken a ton of options for this to happen, but I feel like they would have been better off like having those things pre-rendered. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it doesn't have to manually do it. I will say, Dustin, you knocked initially, or I felt like you knocked the dinosaurs you had to pick from. For a, like, color a dinosaur game, I thought there was... These were cute. I thought they did a good job of, like, drawing some fun, kiddish kind of dinosaurs.
We're not giving them any credit here, Kenny.
I don't know. I'm with you. 16 is not a bad number to pull from. The dinosaurs themselves are fun. I think the faces of these dinosaurs, they went cartoonish, like silly, and it's kind of disturbing.
Oh, some of them they went weird, like really derpy, but like intentionally, they really did.
What about when you hit select?
Okay, we haven't talked yet about changing the color palettes. So you only have, I don't know, maybe 12 to choose from at a time, 10 to choose from at a time. Yeah. But then you can press select to change through different color palettes. Here's the thing, though. You can only use one color palette at a time. And if you have colored your entire piece and then switch to a different palette, it changes all of the colors that you colored into this new palette. Just a terrible idea. You can't select different colors from different palettes.
If you could, that alone would have kind of redeemed this game.
Yeah, I would have brought it up to ages like 3 to 7 or 3 to 8 at least.
Right, and I would have been like an 8-year-old who had a little bit more interest, because then I could have done some artistic things. I could do different colors. Like, it still wouldn't have held my attention long. It's simple, but that would have helped so much.
We are not going to sit here and try and give it credit where it doesn't deserve it.
No, like, it's
you would not have been interested in this game, 8 years old.
No. It's a terrible game, but there's something inherently fun about creating, and like, play wasn't long, but
Mario,
the play I had,
was out,
I
Kenny.
It made me grin a little bit.
Mario was out.
But here's the thing, every other color palette is a flashing seizure inducing color palette.
They might have actually broken
really
laws
quick
here.
It gets really, really odd to where like you don't get good selections. You get this like completely weird, and then you get these patterns that just make everything look psychedelic and messed. Like,
it kind of gets scary if you do it right.
It does. It gets if you do it right, it gets terrifying.
No, palette one was like, oh, we're trying to let you actually be artistic. And then palette three was like, we've given up. We realize this game's a joke, and now the joke's on you.
Here's the thing. If you haven't realized it yet, no matter what combination of colors you use, no matter what color palette you land on, your dinosaur is going to look terrible.
Really, really, really bad. Like, we had people sharing in Discord this week, and each one of them was its own way of being disturbing.
Yeah. By the way, your starting palette doesn't even have green, which is like what we associate with most
like
dinosaurs.
Primary dinosaur color, quote unquote.
Yeah, your primary starting palette has a reddish pink and a light blue. Those are kind of like your base colors.
And a white,
work with,
which your background's already white.
On the palette that finally does have green, you don't have other colors really to work with. You've got green and black.
Yeah, isn't the green
patterns
one black? I did the same thing. I scrolled through looking for green because dinosaur, and that's the one that's like black and then really obnoxious combinations of green and black that make you, I don't even know, have nightmares.
Kenny, you mentioned it in the overview section. I think we should address it one more time because it is a matter of gameplay. Once you, as a 3-year-old or 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, finish your incredible piece of art, and you press start, you get a nice little tune, and your dinosaur is finally colored and complete. and then it's completely gone. There is no saving your work of art.
No, there's no ripping it off and putting it on the refrigerator. You couldn't even pull out your cell phone in 1993 and snap a picture of it to text your parents to show you how proud they should be. It was gone forever. Like, there was no way of saving. And in this game, that literally is the one thing that might have been fun or intriguing. It feels like such a basic feature and wouldn't take that much space.
Well, and what a waste of time. You do, like, what's the point if you can't go back and look at it? Like, do you just keep your screen up on that for days?
You learn as a 3-year-old how to turn off the TV so that you don't get burn in, but leave your Nintendo running so that your Nintendo fails. And then come get mom and dad later.
I'm done talking about the gameplay. We need to move on.
Aged.
Hey, there's no music in this game.
That's not true. There's no music. There's little sound effects.
While you're coloring, it is completely silent, except for the noise of the arrow going across the screen.
Which is like a punching noise.
It sounds like you're punching the dinosaur. No soundtrack.
I didn't think about it in that sense.
There is a theme on the main theme, but then it's over and then it's silent. So, what do we need to say about the age?
I want to talk about the music for just a little bit.
Sure.
Tommy Tallarico composed the music. Mm-hmm. And this is the same guy that wrote the music for the Game Boy version of Prince of Persia, who wrote the music for The Terminator, Aladdin, Cool Spot, Metroid Prime, and, drumroll please don't do it, Earthworm Jim. So, this guy knows what he's doing, was able to create his own company under his name because, he is a great composer, and he worked on Color of Dinosaur.
He's smart. Because they were like, Virgin was like, here's a ton of money. And he made one song. I was like, see y'all. You're smart.
I like to imagine this is how he broke into the industry.
Through Color of Dinosaur?
I'm certain that's not true. Oh. But I hope a 3 to 6 year old, the parent of a 3 to 6 year old that works on bigger games had their kid play in Color of Dinosaur and was like, oh, that's catchy.
If that's so, then this is just the best rags to riches story ever, where this guy just blew up from, he started with humble beginnings with Color of Dinosaur, and then he worked his way up to Earthworm Jim and Metroid Prime.
Yeah, there's lots of games on that list that are way prior to this, which, again, just says something about the quality of this game, but it's a fun thought experiment.
So it's for 3 to 6 year olds. Are we, unnecessarily bashing it, or should there not be video games made for that age group?
So in the age section, we should talk about the age of the game players as well.
No, absolutely. I think it's a valid question. Because it was designed for a children's audience, you have to say, does it do what it was trying to do? Is that why it's a problem as adults for us playing it, that it's problematic? And Nolan, I don't think the answer is should there never be games designed for kids, or is the answer should we not be bashing it? Because I think there should absolutely be games designed for kids. And I think we should 100% be bashing it.
We
can
do both.
It's not good on its own merits. Like, the idea is fine. I wouldn't have minded if we had played a Mario Paint or something that did this but better. My problem isn't with the fact that it's a simple game designed for kids. My problem is that it's a badly done simple game designed for kids.
Yeah, I think that there are, I don't even know if games have to be designed for kids. I think that there are good games, even some of those earlier arcade games that kids can play. I think some games can be designed for kids, but I think there can be games designed for a general populace that kids can also play.
Yeah,
no,
I agree. And I also think that there are games that should be made for little kids, little, but I think they're done better when they're on PC and they're like the math games, like the counting games and stuff. Like, there was a Magic School Bus PC game that taught you stuff. And I think those are way better because, first of all, it's not for the mass populace. They're not going to, gamers aren't going to enjoy those games, but those were quality games. At least they had soundtracks and voiceovers and actually taught you something.
Well, that, and I just think that there are games that, I don't know about 3-year-olds, but 5-6-year-olds can play today and have, so like, obviously, Minecraft, I think any of the Mario Karts, right? Like, kids can play that. They can play games like the Lego games, all that Lego series that is coming out. Those are quality games for kids. They're not the best games ever, but they're worlds better than Color a Dinosaur.
Oh, certainly. And I think there is a place for games that foster creativity, for games that are specifically designed for learning. Like, games can absolutely be educational and can do some of these things that typically parents would be like, oh, I don't want my kid playing a video game.
Right, right.
Oh, but I'm okay with them playing this because, you know, it helps little Timmy and so and so. And that's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with the concept of Color a Dinosaur for 3 to 6-year-olds. I do have lots of problems with how they went about implementing it. Because I think if a 3 to 6-year-old took their big educational cues from this game, they'd either grow up to have terrible taste creatively or be like an angry, confused sociopath and be bad for society. Because
Kenny, did you play Color a Dinosaur as a kid?
I'm defending it all this time because yeah. it's right in my like heart nostalgia because it's what I grew up on.
But the line art is still wonderful today.
All right. Do we get this game New Game Plus or not?
Final thoughts. So, at the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It requires a majority to vote to swing one way or another. This one's super easy. We love this game, but we'll kind of give you just a moment here to kind of express your appreciation for this game. And I think it should start with the one who played it as a kid, Kenny.
Yeah, so I get what they were trying to do. I even get the appeal of something simple like coloring. It literally, I almost wanted to get out a coloring book and color for real playing this game this week.
No, you didn't.
I did. Like,
he's Kenny, Nolan. Yes, he did.
100% I did. Like, that's a fun, enjoyable thing. However, this game is designed for tiny, tiny little kids, but then on top of that, designed for those kids very poorly. And so any attempt to actually be fun is not there, and it moves fully into the we were trolled by our patrons category.
All right, no New Game Plus. Nolan?
Virgin Studios published Lion King,
which is a wonderful game that we have had an episode over.
Right, and it has to do with the developers, obviously. It's just kind of funny to look at the roster of games that people publish. But so no New Game Plus, clearly. It's a really bad game. If it was a well-designed, like, put a kid in front of Mario. It's going to be hard for them, but they'll have a lot more fun and play an actually good game. So don't make a game for 3-year-olds. It's stupid.
I disagree with Nolan in the sense of don't make a game for 3-year-olds. I think you can, but I think you can do it well, and I think you can do it with quality. I'll say this. Imagine that you are a 4-year-old kid and you're given a piece of paper and on it is an incredible dinosaur to color. And then your teacher comes up and you're handed the world's worst box of crayons, and they're the worst color selection, and then some of them are even broken so that as you color it doesn't do what you want it to do. And then but you work hard and you put the time in and you invest the energy. It's also a silent room, by the way. There's no kind right. of background noise.
And your teacher gives you really stringent rules about how you can use your broken
right.
crayons.
Right, right. And you have to only color in the lines, but you're a 4-year-old kid and you don't want to color in the lines. The teacher, at the end of your, I mean, you did put a lot of time into this. At the end of your completed work, you lift up your piece of artwork to show your teacher, and your teacher takes it, congratulates you, and then wads it up and throws it in the trash. This is Color a Dinosaur.
And you poop your pants and have no friends, and they all laugh at you, and you think you're going to wake up from a dream, but you never do.
Right. That's Color a Dinosaur. And so I clearly don't give this game my vote for New Game Plus. I think we were trolled. I think. I don't think it's even a thought.
It's freaking Bill, Whiskey Dictionary.
Bill knew exactly what he was doing when he suggested this game, and he trolled us, and we played Color a Dinosaur. So did a few of our viewers, actually. It was very easy to get hands on this week and didn't require a lot of time or energy to play. Jan wrote in and he said this week's game was special. It might have looked like it was the most boring game ever, but the Discord channel lit up. The things that stood out to me Why is filling up the space so slow? And I mean really slow. The
really
NES
slow.
Is quite capable of showing and animating full screen animations with more than two colors. Also, why are there only two colors at one point in the game? Or four if you count black and white. Surely the NES can do better than that. Also, if you used one of the patterns, it's really hard to change the color. The music is also horrible, but somehow it was still quite entertaining. For half an hour. As a joke, I mentioned speedrunning it in Discord. Turns out, there are speedruns of the game. If I have to say anything positive about the game, it's this. This game is proof that NES games will always keep things interesting. I will not give this game my vote for New Game Plus.
Wise words. He's right. Everyone had a lot of fun with this one. But I mean, it's just one of those that it was on top 10 worst games of all time.
The only thing worse than playing this game for fun, in my mind, is watching someone speedrun this game.
Oh my gosh,
what
it's
a
so
terrible,
boring.
Terrible choice.
It's so boring. I tried to watch it.
I think we had fun this week because we were all playing the terrible game together,
right,
not because the game
because it was a
good.
Joke together no. to talk about, and because there is something inherently appealing about coloring.
Nope.
Antonin wrote in, and he said, "What a game. What a game. Am I right? This game was so bad that it was actually fun. The game of the week chat is usually pretty slow in Discord, but this week we were all playing and sharing our crazy creations. So what I'll say is that you should give this game a New Game Plus. Seriously. But play it with friends and enjoy ripping on the game and making fun of it while waiting for that background to fill with a funny pattern because we all know that it takes forever."
So like... it's only fun if it gets the Mystery Science Theater 3000 treatment. Like, it's fun to make fun of, not actually fun. I don't know if that's a high enough threshold for me for New Game
right.
Plus.
Yeah.
No.
Right. I wouldn't want to put it up there with the other greats that we have given our plus approval. You know?
Right. Yeah. But then we've got some that we didn't give approval to that I don't like to talk about.
Cough. Civilization 2. Cough.
No, not that one.
We received a final email from Bill.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. Let's see what he has to say for himself.
"This was my favorite thing, making my three favorite podcasters play through this amazing game. I hope you enjoyed the color choices. I know that I enjoyed the multiple seizures I had whilst playing the game. Watching Nolan's first play of this game was one of the highlights of my week. And that's not to say that my life is dull, just that it was pure bliss. If anyone hasn't seen that, you need to. Immediately. I promise that the next time a Patreon pool comes up, I'll recommend at least one good game. I've had my fun and will probably listen to this episode more than once while laughing at your expense. Love always, the guy that selected this treacherous, terrible game for us to play, Bill."
If his other games get picked next time we do a Patreon pool, I quit.
Yeah, Bill has had a lot of luck with Patreon pools.
He has, hasn't he?
Like, and that's fun. For him.
I think like two or three of the Patreon
Maybe
pools
three.
Has been his game.
Wow.
Which is totally not fair.
No,
but,
it's not.
especially when games like this come up. But Bill, I was about to say, you know, thank you. Thank you for your support and thank you for your friendship. But
and
for
laughing at us,
it.
I guess.
There's no way I can thank you for this game. If you're listening to this episode and you'd like to be a part of future episodes, you can always send in your thoughts and your commentary over the retro game of the week. Just send it to ngppodcast@gmail.com, or you could just tweet at us and we'll be sure to include those thoughts as a part of our episode in the future weeks. But for now, we're going to put Color a Dinosaur to rest, and yes. It does not get our New Game Plus status, but maybe our next game will. Randomly selecting now.
Redemption.
I'm with you this week, Kenny, because when I thought about when I get bored at work, I'm like, oh, I get to go play the game of the week. And this week I was like, dang it, I have to go play the game of the week.
The game is one that I've actually never heard of before. Came out in 1998. It's a shoot 'em up video game. It's a sequel to a video game called Soldier Blade, and it's part of their
yes.
Star Soldier series. We are playing Star Soldier Vanishing Earth.
I have been wanting this one ever since, I think, Antonin reminded me the name of this game.
Is this the big conversation that you were trying to figure out the name of the game forever? Oh, wow.
This is the game.
Doesn't it have really good music, you said?
I love the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say you're going to love it. You may not like the game, but I love this game. I've got, like, huge nostalgia vibes with this one.
Well, again, it came out in 1998. It's for the Nintendo 64 platform. So make sure to play along with us this week. Star Soldier Vanishing Earth.
It's a weird title.
Get out, Kenny.
It is.
Then go back and play Color a Dinosaur.
I'm going to color another dinosaur this week.
You heard us talk about all the action that went on in Discord this week for Color a Dinosaur, and that's because we have a really great community that we chat with every week about our games that we're playing on the podcast and about games that we're playing outside of that. So, like, we talk about whatever. We talk about life, and we have a lot of channels. There's now video chat in Discord and screen sharing, so we might explore some of those features in the future. So drop on by. There's an invite link to anyone on our Twitter, so check us out.
Also, our good friend Antonin made a new bot for our channel, which you can actually check the date and validity of a game, a retro game that you want to submit to the Retro Master List. It will tell you if it's eligible or if it's not. It's just a great bot.
Awesome.
And really appreciate that, Antonin.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, super cool. While we're being appreciative, we got to say thanks to all of our patrons, especially those of you who support us at a high enough level that you get some of the sweet perks, like recommending games for us to play. We'll put up with you guys abusing that power if that's how you think it needs to be wielded, and appreciate your support. Thanks especially to our producer-level supporters, Zion, Bradley, Gimbarino, and everybody else who gives us your time, money, ears, and attention. We love video games, and we love you guys.
You can always find us on social media. That's Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. Or you can find us on YouTube. We post VODs, our video on demands, up halfway through the week where you can see our faces and a slightly unedited, uncut version of our weekly podcast. You can also find two different Let's Play series. Nolan is walking through Dark Souls, and walking is about the pace that he's going, because he, in the most recent episode, it is one of the most frustrating things I've ever encountered, as he tries to numerous times fight the very first boss in the entire game.
The first boss. Like, come on, this is gonna suck.
And then I am playing through for the very first time The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Blind.
You can
music
blind
to my ears.
He's actually putting on a scarf over his eyes.
Nope, I'm not. And so you can definitely find those on our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search for New Game Plus Podcast, or you can just find that link on our Twitter or Facebook. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure that you subscribe so that you're the first to get new NGP episodes. And then if you'd like to, leave a kind review so that we can know that we're doing well, or what to improve or make changes to as we move forward in the life of this podcast. Join us next week as we play Star Soldier Vanishing Earth. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And what dinosaurs represent each of you?
Ooh.
I am a velociraptor.
Okay. But why? You have to give a reason why.
Yeah, you know, just fast and feisty.
Okay, Kenny?
I'm an ankylosaurus.
Why?
We'll see you guys next week.
That was just my jam as a kid. That's the little armored one that's on the ground with a big tail that swings around.
Nolan, one more.
And I'm a pterodactyl because I can fly in real life.
No, because you're fly. You could have gone like that. Like, I'm fly.
Actually, I totally see you as a pterodactyl.
And this has been a very special episode of New Game Plus.